Well, would you turn with me this evening to three openings in the New Testament? Three openings. Thanks, guys. All the good playing and singing.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. We appreciate it. Turn, please, to Matthew 17. Then we're going to Luke 9. And then Mark 9. If you want to find those three places, Matthew 17 is where we'll start. Then we'll go from there to Luke 9. And then Mark 9. If you didn't get them all, don't be concerned. They'll come up again. Matthew 17 is where we're going to start. Everybody happy tonight?
Yes.
Good. Was a little bit loud for you earlier? Okay. Sorry about that, guys. Y'all take notice. Larry, everybody, it was a little bit loud, they say. Sometimes it's different in different parts of the room. But we're thankful for our sound system.
Amen.
Our sound people. Amen.
Yes.
Our singers and players. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
A lot of churches, you know, they just work with a tape for 5 years.
Yeah.
They just play a tape and everybody sing along. And that's all right, too. But, man, we're blessed.
Amen.
Aren't we to have so much so soon?
Yeah.
And we're thankful for it, aren't we?
Yeah.
In these Friday evening sessions, we've been speaking and ministering on the subject of receiving and ministering healing. So we've been talking very strongly about healing, and we are fully persuaded that it's God's will to heal today, and it is His will to heal all, just like it's His will to save all. And don't underestimate the importance of this one statement that we just made. If people don't believe it's God's will to heal all, then they're not on solid ground to have faith for them to be healed. If you believe God heals some, it's His will to heal some, and some it's not His will, then how do you know that you're one of the ones it's His will to be healed? I mean, almost every person that believes that it's not God's will to heal all, you come right back behind it, and they'll say, well, I guess maybe it wasn't His will for me to be healed either. I was one of the unlucky ones, they say. Well, how are we going to find out the will of God? You know, do we look for people to tell us what they think? Do we look to experience to tell us the will of God? Lack of experience to reveal the will? Or is there only one safe and solid source to find the will of God? Does the Word of God reveal the will of God? And Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
So everything we see Jesus doing and saying, is that not the express revelation of the will of God?
Yeah.
For all people, for all time,
Amen.
Then let's stay with Him.
Yeah.
If He did it, it's the will of God,
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
If it was the will of God then, it's the will of God now,
yeah.
Right? Because He doesn't change.
Amen.
If it was the will of God for them, it's the will of God for us.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, you may think, well, Brother Keith, you sound like a broken record. You just keep saying the same. Well, get used to it, because I'm going to keep on. Because I know by experience what works and what does not. And I know a lot of people that presume that they know this, it's just mental assent. And just knowing something in your head is not what gets the job done. You don't believe God with your head. You don't believe God with your intellect. You don't believe God with your mentality. Romans 10 says, for with the heart, man believes. That's not talking about your blood pump. You can't believe God with your physical blood pump heart any more than you can believe God with a kidney. Or believe God with your liver. Now, the heart is talking about the inner man. I mean, we cut open a watermelon, and that's the first thing I do is eat the heart. My mentality is eat the best, leave the rest. I said, well, you're wasting that water. Hey, there are more watermelons rot in the field than all humanity could eat, multiplied 100 times over. There's more bananas fall off the trees in the jungles and rot than all the monkeys times 1,000 that ever eat. Why do you say that? But because the devil has propagated this lie of lack. Everything's running short. Everything's running out. We don't have enough resources on this planet to sustain us. That's one of the biggest lies you have ever heard. Amen. How many understand God is not foolish? Amen. He didn't create this planet and then all the, you know, generations of people. And he goes, wow, I should have made that thing a little bigger. You know, I should have put some more wealth in there. Whew, I didn't know they were going to eat that much. I didn't know they were going to burn that much gas. I should have put a little more oil in there. No, are you kidding me? No. People squander resources. People don't know how to use resources. And people lie to manipulate markets. But there is no lack of good things. And there's enough wealth in this planet for every human being to be a multimillionaire. Every child. There's plenty of wealth. There's plenty of food. It's such a tragedy that people starve to death. And there's so much food in this earth. It's such a tragedy. You got some evil dictators that'll let hundreds of thousands and millions of tons of grain sit in the docks and rot while their people starve to death a few miles away. Now, that's the devil. But it's not God not providing for His people. The provision is here. How many believe that? You know, they tell us there's a lot more $100 bills than there are ones. Well, see, that's the problem. People are going after the ones. You go after the hundreds and the thousands. Amen. Matthew 17, are you there? We've been studying the individual cases of healing in Jesus' ministry. And seeing how people received healing and seeing how Jesus ministered healing to them, because it works exactly the same today. And we've looked at, what is it, about 12 of these already? And we have seen how many times that the Lord has emphasized faith. Faith, 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 faith. He said it again and again and again. And the last two, we saw how important the environment around people is. The last two we studied in Mark 7 and Mark 8, Jesus took the people not just away from their immediate surroundings, took them out of the town in order to get them healed. And we talked about how that people's environment is such a fact. Why did He do that? Because to get them away from the unbelief. Get them out of the doubt. Everybody say, out of the doubt.
Out of the doubt.
And into the faith.
Into the faith.
It does make a difference. If it affected Jesus' ministry, if doubt and unbelief kept Him in His own hometown from doing many mighty works, Mark 6, 5 and 6 says. If it prevented Him from just ministering healing to those people right there on the spot, He had to get them out of that area to get them healed, then certainly it's going to affect any ministry of Jesus today in the earth. Right? And so you want to be around faith, don't you? Not around doubt. Amen? And especially if you're under attack and you're in a situation where, especially it's life and death, you can't afford to be around naysayers and doubt talkers all the time. You don't need somebody asking you 150 times a day, how do you feel? Huh? You don't need that. You're doing your best not to focus on how you feel. You need somebody to help you. And when I say need, it's a requirement. You need somebody to help you and tell you what the Word says. And look at you, look like you're about to fall over, but they look at you and say, we're going to live and not die. Amen? The Word is working mightily in you. I'm agreeing with you. Amen? Healing is ours. Jesus took our infirmities. He bore our sicknesses. He carried our pains. and by His stripes we're healed. But if somebody says, yeah, but you just never know. I mean, maybe God's working something out in your life, and maybe it's just not His will for you to be. That destroys faith. Did you hear me? If you listen to that kind of thing and you believe that kind of thing, you will have no faith to be healed. That's just the way it is. So we've been feeding our faith. How many understand this is helping us? This is setting us up for days to come. This is setting us up for weeks to come. How many believe God could keep a whole church healthy? Could He do it? Yes, He can. I mean, in the Old Testament, He kept, it was, you know, hundreds of thousands of soldiers, and then plus the women and children and the older people, 2 or 3 million people. And He says He brought them forth with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble person among all their tribes, among millions of people. Well, He could sure do it in a New Testament church. Amen. Name of Jesus authorized. Blood bought and washed. Holy Ghost filled, empowered, New Testament church. If He could do that under the Old Testament, surely He can do it in the New. Amen. If we'll believe it. But we can't be talking this might not be His will stuff. Let's get to the message here. Matthew 17 and 14. Are you there? Matthew 17, 14. When they were come to the multitude, there came to Him a certain man kneeling down to Him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falls into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless. What's the first thing He says? Now, let me just stop right here. It'll help you to get the context of this. He has just come down out of the mountain with Peter, James, and John, where He was transfigured. You remember reading about that? That was a little weak. Because faith life people always read their chapters, and this is recorded in more than one of the gospel accounts, so I know you've read about it at least 4 or 5 times just in the last year. Am I right or am I right? Because faith life people always read their chapters. How many read your chapters this week? Let me say, oh yeah. Oh yeah, I like seeing that, but now that's not every hand. It's not every hand. If you didn't know, maybe you just got into town today and you didn't know what was going on. Serious Christians read the Bible. Amen. Right, regularly. Serious Christians pray. Serious Christians give. Serious Christians go to church. Some say, well, I know somebody and they don't do that. Well, they're not a serious Christian. I didn't say they weren't saved. I just said they're not serious about serving God. Their commitment level is lacking. You know, there's different levels of commitment, aren't there? And different churches, just like different families have different level of commitment to God, different church families have different level of commitment to God. And a lot of folk like a low-level commitment church where not much is asked of them. Not much is required. Huh? Just tell us we're blessed and let's go on. We'll meet again next Sunday. And let's don't get into my life. Don't mess with me. But, you know, in order to follow Jesus, it's going to take your all. Isn't it? It's going to take. He said, if you're not willing to forget about everything and follow me, you're not worthy to be my disciple. You got to be willing to. How much it costs to follow the Lord? Everything. Everything. So it's going to mess with your schedule. It's going to mess with your life, right? Got to put first things first. Putting God first. And so as a church, we've been reading the New Testament through one chapter every day, Monday through Friday. And today we ended up on Acts 1, I believe it was. Is that right? And if you hadn't joined with us, then Monday, you hook up with us, read Acts 2. Read it when you're fresh. Don't speed read it. Don't scan it. Read it out loud. Amen. Read it in faith. Pray a little prayer before you start reading. Say, Lord, this is your word. I love it. I revere it. It's important to me. Feed my faith. Feed my spirit out of your word. Open my eyes to see good things. Remind me of things you've shown me before and show me things I hadn't yet seen in Jesus' name. And then start reading. How many believe God will talk to you right out of the book? He'll talk to you. Whoo, it doesn't get any better than that.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Do it every day. Every day. Your Monday through Friday. Read that chapter every day. He said, oh, he just came out of the mountain glorified. He heard the voice of the Father. He saw and spoke to Moses and Elijah. Now, this is an experience. Huh? I mean, if anybody would have been floating. The glory was on him so much, he was transfigured. His clothes changed color. Now, I never preached that far. I never got that far into the glory where all my clothes were glittering white. But the reason I'm saying all that is he comes straight down out of the mountain and he meets this man and he gets into this situation and the first thing he starts talking to him about is what? Their faith, or rather their lack of faith. If he was just going to do it because of the glory and power on him, this would have been a prime time, right? To just take care of it and do it. But no, here he starts talking to him about faith. Faith. Is there any wonder we got a big word faith out on the front of the church there? And we talk about faith and we're going to talk about faith. Why? Because Jesus did. He emphasized it so much. It is the determining factor in us receiving from the Lord. Keep reading. He said, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Did you know unbelief irritates the Lord? And you know it particularly would on this day. You're on the mountaintop. You're in the glory. You're hearing the voice of God. You talk to Moses and Elijah about the plan of God, and you come down off the mountain into a wall of unbelief. It'd make you go, how long have I got to put up with this? Unbelief irritates the Lord. And Jesus rebuked the devil. That's what you always do with the devil. You don't talk to the devil. You don't hold protracted conversations with the devil. You don't toy with the devil. You do what? Rebuke. You resist the devil. What happens? What happens? He leaves. He flees. He rebuked the devil and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and they said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said, well, because you're you. And I'm me. What do you think? I'm Jesus, the Son of God. No. And yet, you know, there's a reason why I say those kind of statements. See, people have that mentality. Well, Jesus could do stuff like that. That's not what he said. That's men's interjections. He gives them the answer plain and simple. Right? Real plain. He said, because of your unbelief. It's because of your unbelief. Now, actually, the word here for unbelief is a different word than used in other places. And it's only used one time, right here. And it literally means puny. Or little. It means little or puny. You'll find that in the Greek lexicon. Puny. P-U-N-Y. So they said, why couldn't we do that? He didn't say, because this is a great big devil. It's a great big hairy ugly devil and you couldn't. This was out of your league. You had to wait till I got back. What? He said, because of your little faith, your puny faith. You've got to have that in your mind to understand the next thing he says. Keep reading. Because of your puny faith. For verily I say to you, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you see how this goes together, don't you? What's he talking about? Little, isn't he? Little. Well, how much faith did they have then? Must not have been much. Huh? See, people talking about, you know, boy, we need more faith. We need more faith. And the devil will always tell you you don't have enough. He'll never tell you, okay, you got enough now. You can knock my block off. No, he's never going to tell you that. He's going to always say, no, not enough, not enough. How much faith does it take? It don't take much. But it just takes the real thing. Real faith is so precious. It is so precious. It's called precious. Paul talks about like precious faith. And then the scripture even says, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith in the earth? But the thing is, without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. I mean, no matter what kind of giving you do, if you don't do it in faith, doesn't please God. No matter what kind of praying you do, if you don't do it in faith, doesn't please God. Aren't you glad you have some faith? Huh? You don't have to have a whole lot. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could speak to the mountain and say, get out of here. And it would remove. And nothing would be impossible to you. He goes on to say, howbeit this kind goes not out by prayer and fasting. Now I'm going to talk more about that in just a minute. Go to Luke, please. The 9th chapter. Didn't I say Luke 9? Luke 9. How many believing with me this evening? Please do. Luke 9. Verse 18 talks about he was praying and... verse 28 is where I'm trying to say. They went up into the mountain and he prayed and his countenance was altered and his raiment was white. And he talked to Moses and Elijah. And then verse 36, when the voice was passed, this is the very voice of the Father God. Verse 37, it came to pass on the next day, they came down from the hill, much people met him. Now, Mark 9, you'll see that in just a minute, says they were greatly amazed when they met him. And I can see some similarities between when Moses came down out of the mountain after those 40 days and nights. You know, his face shone. Remember that? Well, doesn't that sound a whole lot like Jesus' clothes are shining and glittering? And even though it might not have all been there at that moment, there I'm sure there was a residue of that about him. And when the people saw him, they were amazed at his countenance and at his appearance. Well, he just came down out of the mountain. And verse 38, a man of the company cried out and said, Master, I beseech you, look upon my son, for he is my only child. And lo, a spirit takes him. And he suddenly cries out and it tears him, that he foams again and bruising him hardly departs from him. And I besought your disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring your son here. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tare him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. Now, let's just stop right here, because there's more that goes along with this. I want you to see in a few minutes. In this case, we see that the child was said to be dumb. The child was also said to be deaf, I believe, in one place, and apparently had convulsions, had seizures, foamed at the mouth, jumped in the fire, jumped in the water, trying to commit suicide. Here we see behind the scenes that something's motivating him. And One reason I included in our healings is because, did you see right here, it said he was healed. He had physical problems that he was healed. Actually, he was delivered and healed. Amen. Thank God. How many know no matter what's wrong with you or why it is that way, the Lord can fix it. He can deliver you and heal you. Now, let's just stop right there. You know, some people read this and they get demon conscious, more than God conscious, and causes problems. And some people, you know, they'll take texts like this and other texts about the bad spirits, and they just get so demon conscious. They see demons in everything. They see demons behind every bush, four or five in all their friends. Like one fellow said, one guy asked him, he said, "How you doing today?" He said, "Oh, pretty good. I've already cast six spirits out of myself." Well, that's not okay. And we didn't just start in the ministry yesterday, and we had the experience of some other people that have had decades of experience benefiting from theirs. And I have seen cases where people got off so bad in this deliverance, so-called deliverance ministries. Now, there is a ministry of deliverance, and the devil is real, and spirits do influence people if they allow them to. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I said, if they allow, whether through ignorance or whatever, these kind of things are real, but God ought to be so real to us. Amen. And the power of God ought to be so real to us that we are not afraid of any of these things. Amen. And we don't talk about demon activity more than necessary, for one thing. And another thing, we don't talk about it with any reverence or fear. I know a fellow one time, he came and he said, "You know, I need you to cast some spirits out of me." I said, "Well," I said, If you do, we can help you with that." I said, "But just sit down here and listen and receive." See, people get one thing in their mind. They think, "Well, you're supposed to grab me by the collar and yell and spit on me and wave your hand over me." Do you know people were delivered from spirits in the Scripture without ever being touched?
Yeah,
did you know that? And there were cases where cloths just came on people, and they were delivered and healed. And spirits just left while Jesus was preaching, while the anointing was manifest.
Yeah.
See, people get off on these things. And no, he wouldn't have it. No, I got this and I got to get set free. And if you ain't got enough power, I'll go find somebody else. I said, "You're getting in trouble."
That's right.
I said, "I have exercised authority. I have seen these things. And the Lord will help us. If this is what's required, we'll know what to do." But see, it's not just a matter of trying to cast something out of somebody. How did it get in?
Right.
Did you hear me?
Right.
If we don't take care of how it got in and we don't change that, they can wind up in worse shape than how they started.
Right?
Right? You don't do a person a favor by trying to set them free and they're not ready to change their life. People let wrong things in by watching the wrong thing and listening to wrong things and meditating on wrong things and doing goofy stuff with their bodies. Did you hear me? That's how people open the door. You're not just walking down the road one day and, "Oops, I stepped in a devil. How'd I get that devil? It just jumped on me when I came around." No, you have to yield to things. Did you hear me? And especially a child of God. I said, especially a child of God, we have authority over the enemy. Yeah. And this guy said, you know, he said, "Well, I know what I need." And he wouldn't have it. He left and he found somebody that'd get on the floor and scream over him half the night. And the next time I saw him, he had a spirit. Did you hear me? I know the difference. He didn't have a spirit the first time I saw him. But see, what they didn't realize is in the floor, screaming and hollering, they opened the door and invited this kind of stuff in.
That's right.
Are you with me?
Yes.
No. Every child of God has authority to shut the devil down. Amen. I mean, shut him down. In your life, now you don't have authority in everybody else's life, but in your life, you have authority. Amen. Now notice in these other two cases, we already studied the man at Capernaum and the man at Bethsaida last week. And there was blind and there was dumb and deaf. Not a word was said about a spirit. Remember that?
Yeah.
Not a word was said about a spirit being discerned. They just were healed. See, there is no cut and dried thing on this. You don't say, well, cancer is always a spirit. Said who? Well, this is always a spirit. Or that's always a spirit. No, thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We must rely on Him. Every situation. And don't fabricate things. And don't make rules. And don't imagine things. And don't say, well, you know, that's this. So we better give them a bag and see if they'll throw that up. Or never do anything like that. Never. Well, you know, cough, brother, and see if you can cough it up. That's how you get spirits. Did you hear me? By doing this kind of stuff in ignorance, you open up the door to problems. No, let's stay prayed up. Amen. Let's stay aware of the Holy Ghost. And if something needs to be dealt with, He'll show us. And we'll say, you leave them in Jesus' name, and it'll go. And that's the end of it. Amen. But you don't have to wait on me or anybody else. Are you saved? Do you have the name of Jesus? Then you take care of that yourself. Amen. In your life. And then we'll help people that don't know. All of us will. Unsaved people and people that don't know. Is that all right?
Yes.
Keep reading. This will help us to answer some questions here in just a minute. He rebuked the spirit, unclean spirit. He healed the child, delivered him again to his father. How many believe it happened just like that? After all those years, since he was a child, after all those years of seizures and all that terrible pain and suffering and being jumping in fires and trying to drown himself, he's delivered and free and healed. Just like that. How many believe it happened just like that? Can it happen again? Can you be free no matter how tortured you've been? Huh? No matter how tortured you've been in your mind, no matter how depressed you've been, no matter how many times you've thought about taking your life, tried to take your life, no matter how many times, can you be set free? Can you be completely free and healed and become strong and go on and live a full life and do what you're supposed to do and not be bogged in all that stuff? You can. Can you get free from drug addiction? Is the anointing stronger than methamphetamines? Is the anointing stronger than heroin or coke or whatever it might be? Is the anointing strong enough to take that terrible craving out of your body so that it's gone and all you crave is Jesus? Can it happen? We've seen it happen. We've seen it happen again and again. All you must do is believe. Believe. Now, I tell you, I'll hold your place here and I'll come back to this. I think it'll have greater impact if we do it this way. And go to Mark, the 9th chapter. Mark chapter 9. Thank you, Lord. Verse 14. Mark 9:14. Jesus, when he had come to his disciples, remember he's coming down out of the mountain. Now when he came to his disciples, it was not Peter, James, and John. It was the rest of the 12. Right? It was 9 that stayed there. 3 of them were with him. And he came to the other 9, we'll say, and he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. The scribes were giving the 9 a hard time because they had failed to get this boy delivered. They had tried. They had obviously done some things, prayed some things, said some things, I don't know. But they didn't get him free. Now, you know, it said it in both places, Matthew and Luke, said the man said to Jesus, I brought him to your disciples to get him set free, and they could not. Now, that was his words. That really wasn't accurate. Technically, they could have. They didn't. Do we know why they didn't? Jesus already told us real plainly in Matthew 17, 20, I guess. Why? Because of their puny faith. Remember that? Well, we'll go back to Luke. You are still holding Luke 9, right? Because we're going to go back there now and then another time after this. And look how Luke 9 starts out. Everybody awake? You okay? Huh? How many believe this is worth talking about, looking at, thinking about? This is how you feed your faith in these areas. Luke 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them what? Power and authority over quite a few. A bunch of them. Huh? All devils and to cure diseases and send them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Did they or did they not have authority and power over that spirit harassing that boy? They had it, didn't they? Then why didn't they do something about it? We got the answer, right? Puny faith. Puny faith. Well, let's stamp out puny faith, right? No puny faith. But did they have authority? Yeah, they've been. And you know, they had been getting people set free. If you skip over to the 10th chapter there, you know, he authorized the 70 in addition to the 12. And they came back in verse 17 with joy. And they said, this is Luke 10:17. They said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. They had been getting people set free. They had been getting people healed. Hadn't they? Yes, they have. Now go back to Mark 9. Hold your place in Luke 9. I got about six things going on in my heart at one time here. You with me, right? You're helping me? The scribes were questioning with them. They were giving the disciples a hard time because of their failure. You know, unbelievers like to see it when it seemingly doesn't work for you. Right? Seems to confirm, well, now see there, it's not always the will of God. See, the man died. How much plainer does it have to be than that? A lot plainer than what you're seeing it. These men failed to get this boy set free. These nine disciples, nine closest followers of Jesus, they ate with him, was with him on the preaching and the meetings. They saw the miracles personally empowered and authorized by Jesus. And they failed to get the man brought his son to them, said, please, could you help him? They had tried, you know, what they had seen other people do. Excuse me, not what they'd seen Jesus do, what they had done themselves with other people, and they didn't get results. Did their failure in ministry reveal the will of God? No. Did the man and his son's failure to receive reveal the will of God? No. Then why do people think it does now? Do you see what I'm saying or not? If I prayed for somebody to be healed and they died, what does that prove? Huh? If they made confessions about healing and they died prematurely, what does that prove? Does that reveal that it wasn't God's will to heal them? If it does, then why didn't this reveal when Jesus' closest followers ministered to this boy and he didn't get delivered and he didn't get healed, did that show that it wasn't God's will? Because Jesus comes right behind him and heals him and sets him free. If it wasn't the will of God, he wouldn't have done it. He's the will of God in action. The man, his son's failure to receive, the minister's failure to minister did not show the will of God. It showed failure to receive and failure to minister. Right? Not the will of God. Does this help you or not? Man, this is so important. You do understand that there's more of them believing it's not His will in the earth than there are of us. Do you understand that? There's a lot of Christians think we're nuts. Or worse, they think we're presumptuous. How dare you? How dare we what? Endeavor to follow Jesus and act like He acted? Well, who do you think you are, trying to act just like Jesus? I thought that was the plan. Didn't you? I mean, that's how I read it. I thought that was the idea. Right? He never told one person, it's not God's will to heal you. Not one account. Never told one person, it's not time yet. You have to suffer for this for a while. Never told one person, God's working something out in your life through this. He's teaching you through this sickness, and as soon as you learn all your lessons, then maybe you can be. Not one. This is not Jesus' teaching. This is not His ministry. These are men's ideas trying to explain seeming failures. That's how all these doctrines get started. Somebody prayed for somebody somewhere, and it didn't work out, and so they say, well, God, in His great wisdom, just didn't see fit to do it. Well, why did it never occur to people? Maybe they didn't do something right. Maybe they failed instead of just, this proves the will of God. We got more sense than that when it comes to the new birth. We know that if somebody goes to 1,000 church services in their life and have 100,000 opportunities to receive Christ and they die without the Lord, we don't say, well, it must not have been God's will for them to be saved. We got better sense than that, right? Their failure to receive Jesus does not prove or reveal that it wasn't God's will to save them. All it proves is their failure to receive. Why wouldn't it be that way with other things? If you get prayed for and you didn't receive the Holy Spirit, does that prove it's not God's will for you to be filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues? No. It proves you didn't receive or you didn't yield. Huh? Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, you should. It's God's will for every person on the planet to be born again. How many believe that? How many? Everybody. How many is it God's will to be healed?
All.
Same people. Everybody. How many is it God's will to be prosperous and blessed and have all their needs met?
All.
Every single person. And it's God's will for every Christian to be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, be full of power, and speak in tongues.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
I was a Christian for years who didn't speak with tongues. I was thoroughly saved. But I've been a Christian for many more years now who has been filled and do talk in tongues. With is better.
Yes.
Much better.
Yeah.
If you say, well, I don't know about it. Well, if you don't speak in tongues, you have no experience. You're not qualified to speak on the matter. I was a Christian who didn't speak in tongues. For many years now, I've been a Christian who does speak with tongues. It's for everybody, and it's wonderful.
Amen.
Amen. And every child of God needs this fullness, needs this empowerment for service, must have this ability to commune with God in a heavenly language. If you're just limited to praying with your understanding, you have a limited prayer life. If you're just limited to what you know, that ain't much. Don't care who you are, right? But by the Holy Ghost, you can pray out divine mysteries. You can pray out things about the future. Things about the plan of God. I'll never forget, you know, Phyllis grew up Catholic. And when she married me, we started going to a Pentecostal church. I grew up Pentecostal. But hadn't received the Holy Ghost even when I was married. We were just taught to tarry. God might fail you. He might not. You just never knew. And but that, you know, that's all the light we had. And Phyllis, I mean, she, you know, we'd come down to the service, and after the preaching, that people come to the altar, men on one side and women on the other side, Terry. And she'd sit back in the back, and I'd go Terry. I got hungry, forgot I wanted to be filled. I believed it was right. But somewhere or another, I didn't receive. Didn't know. Thinking wrong. And Phyllis, you know, that night after night this happened. I mean, one night I started tearing about 9:30. 3 in the morning, I'm still up there tearing. Well, after several nights of this, she's sitting in the back, you know, waiting, going. And finally she said, "God, you know, whatever it is he wants, would you please give it to him so we could go home?" And then finally she started, you know, she grew up, she didn't grow up Pentecostal. She grew up completely differently than I did. And she thought, "Well, Lord, maybe it's me. You know, maybe I, is it something I've done wrong? Am I holding him back some way or another?" And she started praying and asking God to help her. Next thing you know, she's filled with the Holy Ghost. Talking in tongues. I thought, "God, I'm Pentecostal. She's Catholic. That don't seem to matter much to him." And so I knew God was dealing with us about ministry. Not ministry, just about his plan for our life. I didn't know about the ministry at that time, but I knew something was going on. God was dealing with me, and I knew enough about the Word that I should be able to pray out these mysteries in other tongues, but I hadn't received. So I'd tell her, I said, "Well, you can do it. You pray about this. Pray in tongues for me," you know. Because I kept saying, "Well, now I don't want it to be phony. You know, if you ever hear Keith speak in tongues, you'll know it ain't me. As long as I believe like that, talk like that, I never spoke in tongues." Because, see, I had the idea that God's just going to kind of take you over. Yeah. And just make you do something or just talk through you. Kind of like somebody, like one minister said, somebody turned a radio on the inside of you. And you just open your mouth and out, you know, the speaker comes out. Somebody says, "Well, I don't want it to be me. I want it to be the Holy Ghost." You want the Holy Ghost to receive the Holy Ghost? Well, no, but I don't want it to be just me doing it. Well, you doing what? Me speaking. Well, you want the Holy Ghost to speak. Yeah. That's not what it says. The Scriptures don't say they were all filled with the Spirit and the Spirit began to speak. It said they began to speak. They began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you don't speak, you won't speak. Somebody said, "Well, I don't want it to be me." Well, you want it to be your brother? Who you want it to be? Now, the reason I know so much about this is because I tarried. Oh, Lord. I mean, when I did finally receive, and I'll tell you a little bit about how I did that, and why am I talking about all this tonight, but somebody could use this. When I finally did, I remembered back numerous times when the Holy Spirit came on me. And I didn't have enough sense to know what was going on. Didn't know how to yield. Everybody say yield. Say it again, yield. If you have been prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit and you didn't speak with tongues, there's primarily one of two reasons why. I'm going to give them to you. Don't think, "Well, it's just not for the gift of tongues is not for everybody." Well, you're wrong. Speaking with tongues is for everybody. You might say, "Well, it says in the Bible." No, it's not talking about that. It's talking about a ministry of speaking in tongues and interpretation. Same writer said, "You may all speak with tongues." Right? It's one of the signs that follow believers. If you don't believe it, then you're not a candidate to receive. But if you have been prayed for, and you didn't speak with tongues, it's because of one of two reasons. Either a lack of faith, we're back to puny faith, or a failure to yield To yield. To yield means to act on the promptings of the Holy Ghost. Let's say it's offering time and he deals with you to sow $1,000. How would you yield to that? By acting on that prompting, right? If you didn't sow the money, if you didn't give the money, then you didn't yield. How would I tell which one it is, Brother Keith? Real simple. If when you're prayed for, if you sense the Holy Ghost coming on you, the anointing and the power coming on you, then it wasn't a lack of faith. You expected Him to come on you. You expected Him to fill you, and He came on you, and He came up in you. And when He does, He'll give you utterance. But you have to speak it out. You use your tongue, you use your mouth, use your vocal cords, just like when you're speaking English. Difference is, it's not coming out of your head, it's coming out of your heart. Amen? But you have, if you don't speak, you won't speak. And see, that's what I struggled with for so long. I kept waiting for Him to make me speak. Or just speak through me, apart from me. That's not what the Scripture says. That's not how it is. I remembered after I did finally receive and yield, I remembered there were times I was on the altar tarrying. And, you know, only knew so much to say, "Oh God, please fill me. Oh God, please. Please. Oh God, please fill me. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me with the Holy Ghost." And the guys that helped me, they didn't know much more than me. They'd slap me on the back and go, "Hold on, brother. Hold on. Stay with it." People get in front and say, "Turn loose. Turn loose. Let it go. Let it go." One said, "Say glory. Say glory. Say it faster. Say it faster. Say it. Lord, glory. Lord, glory." He said, "That's it." "No, that ain't it." One fellow said, just shake your head like this. Just shake your head. And say, "Jesus, Jesus." "No, don't do that. Don't do that. That ain't it. That ain't it." But that's all we knew. That's all we knew. And I remember one night, I was up there in the altar. And, you know, all you know to do is beg and cry. So I beg and cry and cry and beg and beg. "Oh, please, God, please, I'll try to live better. I'll try to do right. Please, please, please." And after a while, I sensed, I didn't know what He was, but I sensed this heaviness come on me and this peace and this, you know, strength of God. And so much so that I just kind of wilted over the altar. Man, I just could hardly pick my head up. And I heard, boom, boom, boom. I just kept hollering, "Please, God, please, give me the Holy Ghost. Give me." And finally, I looked around. All the men were falling out under the pile. All around, not a man was standing or kneeling. Every one of them was laying out under the pile like this. And I feel the anointing so strong, I can't hardly raise my head. I'm just wilted over there, and I'm still going, "Please, God, please give me the heart." Didn't have enough sense to realize He's going, "Hello, here I am. It's me." But I didn't know how to yield. Everybody say yield.
Yield.
Yield. I remember a good friend of mine, a fine man of God, Baptist deacon, a man I grew up around. He came to one of our meetings later on, good man. And he decided he wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So he came up in, and I laid hands on him. Man, the Holy Ghost came on him. Well, now, what does that show? He had faith. Yeah. He was expecting. Does that mean you automatically speak?
No.
No. You got to yield, which means you've got to
speak.
If you don't speak, you won't speak. And Holy Ghost came on him. He began to jump and go, "Whoo, whoo. Woo, woo, woo." And finally I had to grab him. I said, "Whoa, brother, quit, quit." Didn't say they're all filled with the Spirit and begin to jump. Didn't say they're all filled with the Spirit and begin to go, "Woo, woo." Somebody said, "Why?" Because he's not responding correctly. He senses the anointing. It's time for him to speak. But again, he's believing God's just going to make him. So he's actually dissipating the anointing. Do you understand? There can be a genuine move of the Spirit and a wrong response. You understand that? Anything on the human side could be messed up. You understand that? Right? Sure. But I remember, let me answer the question, because some folk are waiting on that. How would you know which one it was? If you prayed for and you didn't receive, you didn't speak in tongues, it's because of one of two reasons: lack of faith or failure to yield. If you didn't sense anything when you prayed, didn't feel like the Holy Ghost came in you, on you, anything, lack of faith. You weren't expecting. Because if you're expecting, he comes. Every time. I said every time. That's what Jesus said. You know, if a son would ask of his father bread or stone, you know, would he give him a stone? Ask a fish, would he give him a serpent? How much more then would the Father give? Matthew says good things. Luke says the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. So if you ask in faith, what happens? He gives every time, every time. If you say, yeah, man, I sensed him. Like one person said this. One guy said this. He said, oh, I sensed him. He was all over me. And the minister said, well, did it seem like, you know, something come up in you, like you wanted to speak? He said, yeah, it was all I could do to keep from it. That's what he said. He said, because I don't want it to be me now. Well, who do you want to receive? See, wrong thinking. Wrong thinking. And I know well about it because I was held back for years. Years I was held back. One day, I was reading a little book by Brother Kenneth Hagin. What's 7 steps how to receive the Holy Spirit? In my little 1969 Marriott mobile home with the genuine imitation black leather sofas and red velvet curtains. Shag carpet. It was special. But I was standing there reading that book, and he said, you know, ask the Father to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit and believe that you receive. Say, thank you, I believe you receive. And by faith, speak. I read that. I thought, nah, that's too easy. I mean, that's, you know, nah. And then the thought came to me, I know it was God. He said, well, you've tried everything else. And I had. They told me, well, brother, I think if you'd shave that mustache off, God would fill you. So I shaved her off. Nothing happened. I mean, you know, thing. I don't mean one thing. I mean thing after thing after thing after thing. See, all that's works. Do you understand? That's works. Trying to earn it or merit it. That's never going to work. Never going to happen. Because it's by grace. And so I said, okay, I was there by myself. I said, all right. Well, let's see here. Father, I ask you to give me the gift. Of course, I'd begged for it for years. I ask you to give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I said, here's something I hadn't been doing. I believe I receive. See, I'd never done that. I believe I receive him right now. And I thank you for giving me utterance in other tongues like you did them, the day of Pentecost. By faith I speak. And the book had said, don't say anything in English. Don't say anything in your own tongue. Don't just be quiet. Speak by faith. Well, what am I going to say? You don't know. It's by faith. But you got to use your tongue, your vocal cords. The fact that you're physically speaking is not supernatural. You have to purse your lips and use your tongue and use your vocal cords and diaphragm and breathe just like you do when you talk. The supernatural thing is where the utterance is coming from. It's not coming out of your head. It's coming out of your heart by faith. So I just said, all right, here it goes. Pogaladen vanemoskente preji. Then I thought, Nah. Because when Aunt Mildred received, she saw a bright light. and rolled up under the pew. And see, sometimes what you know holds you back because you've been taught wrong and you thought wrong hinders you. But I went back. Thank God. Now I'm getting off of tradition and I'm getting on the Word. He had said 1 Corinthians 14 says, you know, when you speak not unto men. No man understands him. But God does. And in the Spirit you speak in mysteries. Well, why do it? You're building up yourself on your most holy faith. You're praying out mysteries. So I went back to the Word and I began to realize, and I've had people tell me, well, I don't know if that's a tongue or not. You wouldn't know. You ain't qualified. There are tongues of the earth that don't sound like a language to us. You ever heard some of them? But they are. They're just as much a language as English is, but they don't sound. The Bible even talks about angelic tongues. What do they sound like? You wouldn't know. You're not qualified. So don't listen to yourself and try to ascertain that that's a legitimate tongue. You wouldn't know. You ain't qualified. Just speak by faith and believe that God hears you. He understands you. And so I said, all right, by faith, I'm going to do it. So I just kept on speaking. And I didn't see a ball of fire. And I didn't feel lightning strike. But I just kept on speaking. And I'm telling you, it didn't all happen in a moment, but the more I spoke, the stronger he got, and the more I spoke, the better it was, and the more I spoke, and then sometimes I'd just lay in the bed and just speak. What are you saying? Talking mysteries with God. Building up myself. Amen. What good is that? Well, if you have to ask, you don't know. But there's a lot of good. You must receive by faith, and then you must yield by faith. Can you say amen?
Amen?
I think it'd be a good time to just act on this right now. What do you think? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Singers, musicians, y'all come on. Glory to God. I'm not nearly through with my message here, I didn't think, but maybe I was more through than I knew. How many believe that this is for today? Same thing that happened on the day of Pentecost is for today. In fact, turn there in your Bibles, and before we do this, turn to Acts 2. I sure didn't intend to do this, but go to Acts 2. The Lord knows things I don't know. Acts, the second chapter, and let's read. He said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. How many believe we could be in unity here tonight and help people to receive? That'd help them, wouldn't it? If unbelief hinders, then faith helps. Right? And the stronger the faith, stronger the corporate faith, the easier it is to receive. One accord. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind filled all the house where they were sitting, appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and sat upon. Everybody say upon. Now this is not the work of the Holy Spirit within. Somebody says, well, I've been born again. I've got the Holy Spirit. Yes, you do. Within. But there's another experience in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit upon. Amen. Yeah. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Romans says, sure, if you're born again, the Spirit of Christ is in you.
Amen.
But the same Spirit you're born of can fill you to overflowing and endue you with power from on high, amen, to be a witness. What's the evidence? Somebody say, well, you see people receiving the book of Acts again and again. They were filled to overflowing and begin to speak. It says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and begin. Who began? They, the Holy Ghost began? No, He's filling them, but who began to speak? They, the people that were being filled. They, who did the talking? Not the Holy Ghost. They did the talking. The Holy Ghost gave them utterance. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. It still happens today. Amen. We personally laid hands on, I don't know, thousands over the years and seen them filled with the Holy Ghost. Easiest thing. All you got to do is ask and believe you receive. And then when He comes up in you and comes on you, speak by faith. Amen. If you're here tonight and you believe this and you haven't been filled, you haven't had this experience, I want you to have an opportunity to receive, and I want to minister to you personally right here, right now. Would you just stand up if you say, yeah, Brother Keith, I'd like to receive this. I'd like to receive. I believe this. I'd like to receive. Or maybe you received some time ago, but you hadn't spoken in tongues for a long time. Hadn't thought right about it or whatever it is. You stand up too. Now don't be proud. The Lord's moved in a special way here tonight to minister to you. I didn't intend to do this, but He cares about you. How many understand, and those of you that do speak in tongues regularly, would you testify and say that this is vital? Amen. This is vital to the full, strong Christian life. This is vile. Well, I'm just interested in faith. He said this is how you build yourself up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, I don't know what to do. My life's in this. I got this big decision coming up. And I don't know what to do. And I don't know if I should marry this one or not. I don't know if I should take this promotion or if I should move. Friend, there's no better thing to do than to get off by yourself and get quiet and pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in tongues. Mysteries prayed out bring revelation.
Amen.
Amen. There's others that should stand. Don't be ashamed. Now, don't be sometimes people say, well, I, what will they say if I stand up? Good. Great. I mean, if you're not fluently speaking in tongues right now, and you believe in this, stand up. If you're not, stand up and say, yeah, I want to. Maybe you just say, I want more freedom. I want to yield better. You know, I just haven't had that liberty and that freedom like I should have. Then stand up. Don't be embarrassed. Now, don't be ashamed. Pride robs people. Don't sit there and go, well, people know that I'm a minister. People know that I'm this or that I go to the church. Or that. Don't be proud. I mean, if you're not a whiz at talking in tongues, you ought to be standing up right now. That's just that simple. Now, if you say, I don't believe it, well, then ain't no need in you standing up. I wish you did, because you're missing out. If you're standing, would you come on down here to the front? Just play something softly, Brother Dave. Would y'all remove this for me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to pray. Glory to God. You're going to receive. Are you going to yield? Thank you, Lord. You'll not be disappointed. Oh, hallelujah. Real simple now. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be proud. If you haven't received and you haven't yielded, or maybe you did. But it's been a long time. You haven't spoken like you should. Haven't been yielding like you should. Here's a good time for you to break loose and get free. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, we'll wait. If there's somebody else that should come, please move quickly. So I'm assuming that everybody out there now, you're a tongue talker. Right? Amen? I either just don't believe in the experience. One of the two. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And the Holy Ghost is going to come on you. Somebody say, you think so? No, I know so. Been here many, many times before. He's going to come on you. He's going to come on you, going to come up in you. I'll come by and lay hands on you. Now, you don't have to wait till I lay hands on you. A lot of you will receive before I ever get to you. That's just great and good. I'm not the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. We don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit. He's already been given. He came on the day of Pentecost. He's been here ever since. But when I lead you in this prayer, He's going to come on you. When He does, you can start speaking. Now remember, you have to speak. You have to use your mouth. Speak. Just don't speak English. Don't speak in a known tongue. But by faith, begin to try to express your heart, your love for God, your faith in Him, your appreciation. Begin to try to express out of your heart without saying anything in English or a known tongue. And immediately, utterance will come. I'm going to start praying in tongues. These people are going to start praying, right? You're going to start praying with me. When I start praying, you start praying out loud in other tongues. And you join me. Are you ready? Close your eyes. Focus on the Lord. Say out loud, Father God, I thank You. I am Your child. Jesus is my Lord. My Savior. Thank You for washing me, cleansing me, making me fit to receive the fullness of the heavenly gift. I ask You to fill me to overflowing with Your precious Holy Spirit. I receive Him. I receive the baptism, the fullness of the Spirit right now in Jesus' name. Thank You for giving me utterance in a new tongue right now.